12. Okay? John chapter 12. Last week, if you were with us, there was a question hanging in the air that went unanswered last week. We're going to try to deal with that question this morning. And that question is one of the great questions of that day and this day and all days to come. Who is this Son of Man? Who is this Son of Man? I was looking around. Rebecca's not here, is she? Okay, not this week. 28th? Okay, all right. This group of our folks that went down to Guatemala, and we wanted to hear from them, and I kind of pestered them last week, and I got in my mind it was maybe this week, but it's the 28th. All right. So turn over to John 12, and let's read verses 34 to 36 this morning, and we'll look at that to answer this question that they asked that day, who is this Son of Man? Verse 34, so the crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up, crucified, they knew that to be? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtakes you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become the sons of light. Well, let's deal with this question. The question that was on the hearts and minds of these folks, who is this Son of Man? I want us to look at three things in this passage, these few verses. One would be the problem. There's a problem here. The question that they ask is linked to the problem that's right there before Jesus and this crowd of people. Then I want us to look at his pronouncement, actually, which is his answer to their question. And then finally this morning, the position, your position. Related to all that's going on in these few verses, you have a position. And that's what I want you to deal with on an individual basis this morning. So there's a problem, and that problem is the focus of the question. The problem is this. Jesus has just talked to them about who he is and who they are in the context of who he is. And then he brings up the fact that the Son of Man is going to be lifted up, crucified. They knew what that meant. And now the people run right into that brick wall in front of them. How can this be? How can this be? We thought we knew who you were. But now you're saying to us, you're going to be crucified. You're going to die. And so they have a real problem here. And so let's get into the bowels of this question they're asking. Their question, who is this Son of Man? Jesus, over in verse 23, had already told them that he, the Son of Man, was going to be glorified. The day, the hour is close when the Son of Man is going to be glorified. In the New Testament, this title, Son of Man, is used real frequently. In fact, let me get my stats out here. In the four Gospels collectively, about 85 times. Now, there's some overlapping with the Gospel accounts, but 85 times in the Gospels, 12 in the book of John, this term, this phrase, this terminology, this Son of Man is used, and only Jesus uses it, and he only uses it about himself, of course. All right? So he knows where he's coming from. He knows who he is. Jesus' position then is this. The Son of Man is also the Son of God. The Son of God became the Son of Man. He became flesh. He was born of woman. He was born as a man. He was born to live as a man, die as a man would die. The cessation of life. The heartbeat, respiration, brain activity. He's going to die as a man. But he is going to die as the Son of God who became the Son of Man for a specific purpose, to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. That separates Jesus from all of the billions of other people who have died and will die. That separates it. He is all God, He is all man, and He's going to die like a man, but He's going to die for a purpose, the purpose to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. So, the people then have a problem. They have a problem. You're not who we thought you are. You know, we were buying into this. You were healing the crippled man. You were giving sight to the blind. You're talking about all this that you've done. We've watched you. We've welcomed you into the city just a few days before. Hosanna, Hosanna to you in the highest who comes in the name of the Lord. They just were pretty sure that this was the Son of Man, but they're referencing the Old Testament. The Old Testament. The law, they call it, which actually was the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, the Psalms, and the writing of the prophets. Hasn't been canonized as such yet, but that's what they're talking about. We know what the Old Testament says about the Son of Man. And what we know is that the Son of Man is not going to die. He's not going to die. So, who is this Son of Man? How can you be the Son of Man if you say you're going to die? See the problem? In the Old Testament, this title, the Son of Man, or this phrase related to a person, appears 107 times. So they're familiar with it. That was a phrase that they were familiar with. Now, not all of those are in a messianic context, some in Ezekiel especially, but most of them refer to the one that they are going to say is the Messiah. So they're confused. They're confused by what their religion had taught them. Time out. Does your religion confuse you? Oh, it does today. I mean, why do we have these? I used to know well over 1,000 denominations in Protestantism in this country. And we're not talking about all the other isms. And on we go. Does your religion confuse you? If I were to ask you this morning, what religion are you of? Bad English, but good question. What would you say? Good, yeah, I like that, okay? I thought we were going to get some Methodists and Baptists in the group. I didn't hear a one of those. I heard believer, I heard Christian. You see, folks, religion is one of the greatest adversaries of the follower of Christ. Because religion is what man has taken and put together and got a lot of other people who will go along with them. And they call it a religion, and it could be as erroneous as these folks. This is the only religion that you need. And if it's not here, why do you have it? Huh? All right. Now, these people were confused by their religion. They have been taught this. Jesus is defining himself as the Son of Man as to his purpose and his mission. He came, he was born, he lived a sinless life, and died, will die, for the sins of the world. That's his purpose. That's what he is all about. And the people see the Son of Man in a totally different context. Jesus knew his lifting up was to redeem sinful, lost humanity. These folks aren't really sure about that, to be honest with you. They had an antidote for sin. It was a sacrifice. Ongoing sacrifice. A perpetual sacrifice of animals slain, etc. Okay? Jesus is going to come and die once for all. All, as in all people. all as in all sins. And Jesus knew his lifting up was to redeem. He knew that he was going to establish a kingdom. You see, they thought he was going to come and establish a kingdom. Their Son of Man was going to establish a kingdom here. Jesus is going to establish a kingdom, but his kingdom is going to be his rule and reign over the lives of people, not some territorial, geographical, geopolitical domain, of which they would be a big deal. The Jews would be. That's what they're looking for. We're looking for that Son of Man who's going to come and get rid of all of our adversaries. It's going to take care of our problems, going to elevate us to a status because we're descendants of Abraham, and put us in our rightful place. Jesus is going to come and establish a kingdom. And that kingdom, though, is his rule and reign. You see, it's not something you put on a map. It's something that happens in your heart. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you belong to his kingdom? Does he rule and reign over your life? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What is he talking about seeking? Seeking his rule and reign over your life. Now, in today's vernacular, we would say, is he Lord of your life? That's what we're talking about, lordship. That's all he knows anything about. The Jews were looking for a king. He is coming to be Lord. Today, a lot of folks, and by the way, the problem that they have is a very common problem today. I tell you what, only an idiot would not want Jesus to be their Savior. Really, think about it. I mean, duh. To live for eternity with God in his heaven? Now, if you haven't checked the stats lately, once upon a time about 2-3% of the population of this country were atheists. By the way, that's their religion, okay? Atheism is a religion. It's just there is no God, all right? Agnosticism is a religion. About 2-3%. The latest statistics from the Barna Group, which is a pretty sophisticated polling, whatever, okay, that's now 13% over the last few years. And it's gaining a head of steam. The trajectory is in that direction. We may well be, in your lifetime, maybe not mine, okay, look a whole lot more like Western Europe than we did one nation under God of the recent history. I don't know. But everybody wants a Savior. They want a Savior to guarantee me heaven. But by the way, until then, just step out there, God, and let me do what I want to do. And oh, by the way, if I have a problem, I'm going to call you to fix it, okay? And you come and take care of my problems. Take care of my problems now. Reserve a place for me in your heaven, and we're good to go. See you then. That's the Jewish model. It is not the Jesus model. Jesus said, uh-uh. If I come to your life, it is to be Lord and Savior. Lord and Savior. I'm in control of everything. You control nothing. I want you to give me all of your sorrows and your pain. I will guarantee you heaven. Yes, I will. In fact, I'm going to prepare a place for you, said. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That's taken care of. You can count on those reservations. And until then, until then, I get to do anything I choose in your life, allow anything into your life to conform you to the image of me. That's called lordship. That's salvation. That's what he came to do and to be. You okay with that? Huh? It doesn't really matter if you are or not. That's what it is. Lord and Savior. And so the problem is, who is this Son of Man? Do you see why they're asking that question? Who is this Son of Man? He's talking about Lord and Savior. We're just wanting a Savior. They're confused. They're totally confused. Let's look at his pronouncement now. The pronouncement. That's the problem. Here's the pronouncement. Who is this Son of Man? Jesus said to them in verse 35, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Now, if this catches you as, did he answer the question? Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. And folks, what he said in those few words is one of the most profound statements you can come across in Scripture. You see, these people had a desire, but he is framing their real need before them. Now, he is talking to these people in that crowd, okay? And this is one of those situations where he's talking to them, but it has application for humanity, okay? All right. For these people he's talking about now, light is among you for a little while. He's going to the cross in just a few hours. He's going to die. He's going to be raised again and ascend 40 days after that. A little while longer is what he's talking about. But you know, as I looked at that, knowing that it applies to you and me, because that entire phrase has to be linked together, isn't that what he's saying to you and me? For a little while longer, the light is available to you. Now, this gets scary. Not for you and me, I pray, but this gets scary. The clock is running. The light, he is the light, the light is available to every person for a little while longer. How much longer? How much longer? I don't know. Maybe this afternoon for you, buddy. Or me. Yeah. A little while longer. The clock is running. It is entirely possible that when we gather back here next week, and I say we with a lot of faith there, I guess, we may not all be here. Not because we're out of town, but we're out of this world. You see? That's what he's doing. He is framing this situation in time for them a little while longer. A little while longer. I don't know how long that is for me or for you, but it's a little while. You say, well, I'm planning to live to be a ripe old age of. That's a little while, folks, even for these little ones here. Those of us who are beyond, well, I'm okay with it, but some of the rest of you might not be, okay? Isn't it amazing how fast time goes? You know, you hit 16, and then somebody hits the accelerator. And all of a sudden you wake up and you're 65. What? You know? And then it's a little while. Don't put off till tomorrow because you've got a long while. You don't. Or even a little while. You may not. And so when he's talking to these folks about the light is among you for a little while longer, the light is available to you a little while longer, but you can't define what that longer is, nor can I. And so Jesus talks to them about three things, three issues in His pronouncement. He talks to them about darkness, He talks to them about light, and He talks to them about walk. Light, darkness, walk. Darkness is the opposite of light. That's not meant to be profound, but that's what it is. It's the absence of light. It's blackness. Here's an interesting thought. If you walk in darkness now, you will walk in darkness then. If you walk in light now, you will walk in light then. After the little while longer, you see? And so darkness, the opposite of light, the absence of light, it blinds. If we were in darkness right now, you and I couldn't see a thing. You do not glow in the dark, by the way. Some of you may think you do, but you don't. We couldn't see you. You couldn't see me. Darkness blinds. It allows for putrefaction. You know what that is? Go home, get a piece of meat, find a real dark place in the house, and put that chunk of meat in there. Yeah, you'll know what putrefaction is in a few days, along with all the bugs and everything else. Now the heat contributes to that, yes, and all that kind of thing, but the darkness does as well. Where's the mold? You ladies don't have any, but we guys know you do. Where's the mold grow in your house? In the dark places. Yeah. Yeah. In those dark places. So it allows for putrefaction. It gives cover for sinister activities. Bad things. Bad people do bad things in dark. It yields to that. It's the residence for all who are not, and if you weren't here, we'll go back and show you that. It's the residence of all who are not where I am. Remember Jesus said, where I am? Okay, I don't know where that is, but that's where I want to be. How about you? Okay? Well, darkness is the residence for everybody. It's not where I am, I being Jesus. If you look at life after the great white throne judgment, it's called the lake of fire, but there's also darkness there. Perpetual darkness. Perpetual pain. A place that you don't want to be. Darkness is the result of that garden experience of Adam and Eve, when they believed the serpent, when he said, eat and you'll be like God. They thought that was a big deal. But when they ate, though God had told them not to, darkness enshrouded the human race. You and I were born into darkness. You and I were born into darkness. And if you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you still live in darkness. You're going to go from darkness to darkness, folks. I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm also a bearer of good news. You don't have to stay in the darkness. So he said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the night, lest darkness overtake you. You and I were born into darkness. It has overtaken us. And the only way out of the darkness is to come to the light. All right, let's look at light now. Light illuminates. It purifies instead of putrefying. It destroys the darkness. We can make it as dark as you want to make it in here, okay? I don't know how dark that would be, but we can make it dark, all right? And put the shades on so there's no sunlight coming in. And somebody could just light a match. I don't know why you'd bring a match to church, but light a match. Okay? And all of a sudden, that light, that just one match, okay, would light up most of this room probably. That's what light does. You see, light and darkness cannot cohabit the same space. You know where I'm going, don't you? You can't be dark today, light tomorrow, dark the next day. That doesn't work. You were dark. If you are now light, you are never again darkness. Can't be. Because He, the light, has come. And He rules and reigns over your life. You are now light. You live in light. So He said, the light is among you. At that time, Jesus was bodily present. He lived light before them. He taught light to them. He's always been light. Always will be light. When He is present, there is only light. Do you see? Now, if He went away, how can you be in light? Glad you asked. Because He sent another one like Him. And He will be in you. And who is the Holy Spirit in you going to speak of? Jesus said so. Jesus said, He will speak of Me. And if He is in you and you are in Christ, you are light. That's why you don't get along with darkness. That's why people don't like you. That and the lack of scope in your life, maybe, I don't know. Just checking to see if you're with me still. Some people say, oh, scope, yeah, yeah. No, that wasn't to write down, okay? You are offensive to people in the world because they are in darkness and you are light. And when you walk in, the light shines and they get upset, angry, guilty, or whatever. Going to a restaurant or a situation with a bunch of folks and they're all ordering Bud Lights and all this stuff, and say, I'll have iced tea and see what happens. Light! You see? That's what's going on. Somebody says, hey, did you hear this one? No, and I don't want to. Light! And on and on and on and on it goes. You just bother people. Because you're light and they're darkness. They can't be darkness if you're around. You get it? All right. You answer the question. Are you in light or darkness? You say, well, I don't know. Okay, glad you asked. Whether you are in light or darkness depends on where you walk. It's what Jesus is talking about. Light, darkness, walk. Everyone walks somewhere. Walk, live. Okay? Live. Where is your life? In light or darkness? How you live, what you do, it's either light or darkness. Said another way, 1 John talks about this, the continual habitual practice of your life. And it's an absolute. There's no dusk or anything like that. It's light or darkness. And where you walk is one of those two places. Now here we go, okay? If you are in light, you cannot walk in darkness. I didn't make it up. Jesus said so. He had light in you. You can't walk in darkness. The continual habitual practice of your life cannot be darkness, light people. It can't happen. If you are in darkness, you will not walk in light till the light is in you. You see? Now you light people. What happens if you are walking in light and step over into something dark? It does, but boy, it hurts. Oh, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son or daughter whom he receives. He loves us. His grace is so profound that he will not even let us dabble in darkness without his correcting hand bringing us back to light. You feel horrible. Your belly hurts. Your husband or wife, they don't want anything to do with you because you're such a grouch. You're miserable if you are a light person and you try to dabble in the darkness. I heard this testimony of a youth minister, okay? I don't even know where he's from, okay? But I heard his testimony. And he made a decision, all right? And he had an affair with one of the folks in the church, okay? And he talked in terms of when he consummated this affair, it made him so sick, he went outside and just vomited in the bushes. It just destroyed him. That's kind of gross, but that's what it looks like when a light person tries to dabble in darkness. It's going to hurt. You say, well, that's not true. You know, I do a lot of bad stuff. Yeah, I mean, and I'm look at me. I'm doing really well. I'm successful. My job, my home, look at me. Oh, folks, do you hear what's going on there? You're not a light person. If you're a light person and you dabble in darkness, the grace of God is going to come to get you back to that place, and it's going to hurt getting there. You think, oh, you're just being a Puritan now. Well, I don't care what you call it. It's real. If you can sin willfully and it be the habitual practice of your life, you are not in the light. It's an impossibility. It's just as impossible for us to have this dark room, totally dark, and light a match, and you not be able to see the match. That's impossible. Any light's going to illuminate the darkness. If you are a light person, you cannot live in that darkness. It just can't be. Am I communicating? You see, what we've done is we've believed the culture instead of the Word. The culture says, oh, quit being so whatever, okay? Live, have some fun. God meant for us to be free. Well, the problem with that culture is the word free. Free, defined by the culture, is do anything you want to do whenever you want to do it. The free in the Word is to be free from the penalty of sin and death. You see the difference? I really struggle, to be honest with you, with the person who says they are in light in Christ Jesus and does whatever they want to do. First of all, you can't love your Savior if you do. You can't. Folks, the longer I'm in the faith, the more I don't want to hurt Him. The more that I live the life as a believer, the more I don't want to hurt Him. And sin is going to hurt. You say, you're a killjoy. You're taking away all the fun. You haven't even thought about what fun is if you think whatever that is over there is fun compared to a life in Christ Jesus. That's fun. That exceeds fun. It's joy. That gives life meaning. Light, darkness, walk. And by the way, this walk includes the activity of your life, the thought life, the body, the soul, your mind, will, and emotions, that's included, and then your spiritual expression of worship. All of those are included. All right. That's Jesus' pronouncement. Now let's close with the position. Jesus said, be sons, daughters of light. You have to believe, he said so, while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. You have to believe to be sons, daughters of light. It's not by osmosis. You don't get it from where you were raised. You don't get it because you went to vacation Bible school. You get it because you have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once that transformation takes place, it's irreversible. You see, he owns it. He is the guarantor of your salvation and mine. When he saves you, he's not changed his mind. You see? And he is going to ferociously defend what is his. He's going to protect. He's going to correct. He's going to come and get you. He's your Lord. You are owned by him. That's a good deal. You want to be owned by him. This is an absolute. Did you see it? Light, darkness. Can you get more absolute than that? Saved, lost, absolute. God is a God of the absolute. He knows nothing about compromise. He knows nothing about, let's just kind of put that out in the middle and we'll solve it later. No! On every issue, and you young people, pay attention. On every issue, the God of this universe, through his Son Jesus Christ, is not confused about anything. Nothing. He has stated where he is on every issue of darkness. And he will not, cannot change his mind. Wow, does that just collide with where we live today? Huh? Here in a few weeks, maybe next week, the Supreme Court of this land is going to hand down some decisions. And it's not about Obamacare, okay? So relax, okay? And I want to be honest with you. I'm not a prophet, okay? But I believe the position of this nation on the core issues of God's creation, if he hasn't, he could well write Ichabod over this nation. You know you don't find the United States in end times, which I believe is right now. You don't find them. You can't find them. Some people say, well, I think it's those who dwell securely in the coastlands. One of the Old Testament books says it. You don't find it. You find Libya. You find Egypt. You find Persia, which is Iran. You find Syria. You find Turkey. I can give you a good argument that you find Russia, but we won't go there. The kings of the East. All are identified in that end times scenario. Not the United States of America. Huh. What happened to us? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know that God owes many peoples of this world an apology if he winks at our rebellion to the principles of his creation. Just say. So the position this morning, your position, my position. Today, anyone who reads these words or hears them is going to have a position. today, people are either going to ignore them, which is pretty common today. I don't care. I don't care. Another position is to blaspheme the one who said it. That's gaining popularity around the world today. And if we read over in those end times in Revelation, did you ever wonder how in the world those people could shake their fist in God's face and call on the rocks to fall on them when they are being pummeled with those 100-pound hailstones? Instead of repent, why would you not repent? If somebody can hurl a bunch of 100-pound hailstones down on you, don't you think it'd be a good idea to say, sorry? No, just the opposite. They curse him because of the hailstones. How can that be? How can somebody blaspheme someone who says, I want to give you the abundant life now and eternal life when you die? I want to give you the grace gift of salvation. How can you blaspheme that one? Oh, it's done. And more so all the time. Blatantly now. Blatantly now. And this thing of persecution, I know that many of you have been here for a while. I could see your eyes roll 10, 15 years ago, you know. When I talked about there will be persecution that comes to the life of the person who walks with Jesus Christ. And yeah, okay. Hey, not rolling your eyes now, are you? It is happening in this land. And brothers and sisters in lands not that far away are losing their heads. Real. Really. They go into a university in Kenya here just not too long ago and said, who here is a Christian? Get over here. Who's a Muslim? Over here. These people died. These people did. Did you ever check to see what the Antichrist does to those who will not take the mark in the book of Revelation? Did you ever look at that carefully? They're decapitated. Huh. Wonder where he got that idea. The ruler of the world. Then, same that's going on in parts of the world today. It's going to increase. I don't mean to be a, you know, whatever. It's going to increase, folks. It has to. Because the Word says so. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Can't escape it if you live godly in Christ Jesus. Now that seems so antithetical to the way that we live for so many years, the golden age of the 50s. Right? Some of us have lived through some awfully good times. Some of you know the ravages of the Depression and World War II and those years and all. But if you were born in 1950 like I was, I missed that. But folks, I'm here to tell you, I haven't missed, if I live any longer, the persecution that's coming and is here today. Send your little one to school and have them give a report about Jesus. Third grader, maybe. Oh. Maybe not in Bolivar, Missouri, but you get very far from here, and you've got a truant child on your hands because they're going to get kicked out of school. Now, they can talk about the prophet. They can talk about the this, the that. They can talk about two daddies or whatever it is, but they better not mention Jesus. Am I messing with you, folks? Or is this truth today? You see? These are the days. Light people, these are the days. Darkness is pervasive and is coming more and more. There are those who just openly reject it. I hear what you're saying. Sounds like a good deal to me. I don't want anything to do with it. some believe only with their minds, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And then some believe, embrace, walk in lordship. There is a response to the light. And everyone in this room, yea, everyone in this world, at this point has made a decision about the light. And Jesus said it in this way, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Light, darkness, where do you walk? And I ask myself the same question. I beg you with all that I am, come to the light. Come to the light. The light that will transform, change your life for now and for eternity. It will make this life make sense. It has purpose then. It's Him. It's light. And folks, even your want to is going to be lit up. Yeah. All those things that you want to do now, okay, you don't want to do then. When the light's there, come to the light. Come to the light. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you're light. Thank you that you're the antithesis of darkness. Thank you that you want us to be light. With you, and you be light in us and through us. I pray for those, Father, even in this room perhaps, who have rejected you up to this point. Some who may even blaspheme you. I find that hard to believe, but no doubt it's very possible. For those who have made some mental assent, but they still live in darkness, because they have not been born again. Light of the world, come into every heart this morning here, if you haven't already. And Lord Jesus, in those of us who you have come to and are the light of our lives, give us a boldness. Let us throw off the bushel basket that we put over our lives and shine wherever you put us. Lighting up the darkness, drawing people to the light so that not one would have to face eternity separated from you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have given life and light. In Jesus' name.